Hi, this is Donna Mills. You probably know me from Knot's Landing, but right now I'm doing a play at the Colony Theater in Burbank in California. I'm doing Driving Miss Daisy. I hope maybe you can come out to see it. Now, I'm going to be talking today to Rabbi Saul Solomon on Dave's Gone By at UNC Radio.
Oh, shalom, my friends, shalom. This is your old buddy, Rabbi Saul Solomon, coming to you from Colorado, and I have an interview today with an actress. Now, I know some of my interviews are kind of run-of-the-mill, but today we have a run-of-the-mills interview. That's me being funny and amusing here, because I'm talking to Donna Mills. You know her. She's an Emmy Award winner for General Hospital. She was on Knot's Landing all those years. And she was in the recent movie Joy with Jennifer Lawrence. And even, oh my God, Sharknado 4. But ladies and gentlemen, you can also see her live on stage doing theater in California. She's doing Driving Miss Daisy at Burbank's Colony Theater. So please, would you kindly welcome to the neighborhood, Donna Mills. Shalom, Donna.
Shalom, Rabbi. How are you today?
Oh, I'm all right. You know, the usual aches and pains. What can I tell you? I'm dealing. I'm coping. I have an iliopsoas issue and some headache and a blister that I don't know what that's doing on my hand. I've got to have that lanced. But how are you?
I'm good. I'm very good. Heavy in rehearsing now for my play, which opens on Friday.
Oh, Mazel, that's right. It's at the Burbank Colony Theater, running from November 4th through December 10th. And are you actually playing Miss Daisy?
I am. People ask me to say, well, what role are you playing? What other role would I play? Certainly not the chauffeur.
Well, that's right. You're not bully either. But no, the thing is, it's like people still think of you, Knot's Landing, all the shows that you did all the way from the 1960s and 70s. So it's hard to think of you as a person in her 70s who is of an age, maybe still a little young, to play Miss Daisy. And yet,
well,
you know.
I know. We had to age me tremendously to do it.
Well, yeah, because physically you still look like you're 50, for God's sake. So there you go.
One of the things, you know, that you have to do, I mean, they tell me I look younger than she should look, but what you can do on the stage is physical, and I can't do a lot of age makeup in this because I'm on the stage the whole time, and she ages from 72 to 97.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So there's, you know, I can't do makeup because I'm on the stage. So it's physical. It's pretty much physical.
Well,
what
they do the Elephant Man when Bowie did the Elephant Man, when Philip Anglim did it, and when the guy recently, the actor, did Elephant Man on Broadway. There's no makeup except basic stage stuff, but you have to make in your mind, aha, this is a twisted,
uh-huh,
deformed person, and you're playing someone physically. So what do you do instead of the makeup?
Well, it's physical. It's how she walks. It's how she sees. It's how she talks. You know, all those things are affected as age starts to take over. And you know, by the time she's 97, she's in a home and her mind's a little gone. You know, she's kind of in and out, but you know, she's not real sharp anymore. And,
I know the feeling.
You know, it's all that kind of stuff, walking with a walker. You know, it's physical. It's an interesting challenge for an actor.
Now, let me ask you, she is also, I believe, this character is a Jewess. So did
right.
you have to do any research on Jewessism to you know?
Well, I have a Jewish boyfriend.
Hey! Wait, is this Larry Gilman? Is he Jewish?
That's right, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Yay, what does he do?
What does he do?
Yes.
He's a consultant, and he teaches people how to give presentations and talk to the media and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And he has a thing that he's done for about 30 years now called The Mastery, which is a how to find your authentic self.
Ooh, okay. I haven't seen my authentic self in about 20 years.
You should see him.
I left it in a closet somewhere in Chicago, and when I go back there, I'll find it. Oh, my authentic self is under a trunk. But you went to him, to your boyfriend, for like, is this right on Passover? Is this how they would do this?
Well, yeah, I mean, I know all that stuff because we've been together quite a long time, and, you know, he does seders and, you know, all kinds of this stuff. So I pretty much know all that, you know. So it wasn't that much of a stretch. I have it kind of, I know what it is.
But do you have to change the cadence of your speech, no matter what age that Miss Daisy is? She's Jewish all the way through. So is there a bit of Jewishness that you pop into your delivery, or it's just you and you happen to be playing someone who's Jewish?
No, because if you recall, she's from the South. They're from Atlanta. So they have Southern accents.
Oh, that's true.
But, you know, that's Southern, so that's all the accent, you know.
You're right, yeah.
That you have to do.
So basically, it's just, oy vey, y'all, that would do it.
She doesn't have it. There are no lines that she has that say, oy vey.
Borscht and grits is the kind of thing that you're eating there. So let me, you answer this all the time because people want to know, you know, this, you've been dating Larry Gilman for so long, and yet he hasn't made an honest woman of you. You're never going to get married. Is this true?
That's true.
Because you don't have to. I mean, you have your own career. You've got your life. Is that the reason?
No, it's because, I don't know. I've never been married. I've never seen any real reason for it. I've had long-time relationships that have been wonderful, but I'm not looking for anybody to, I don't know, if the relationship works, that's the most important thing. I don't need, a piece of paper to feel safe.
Well, thank God. Well, speaking of safety, and this is the question now being asked of every actress out there, have you, God forbid, had any Harvey Weinstein-type problems and issues, especially in your younger years?
Yeah. You know, when I was first starting out, it was, you know, the same for every young, pretty girl out there. There were predators. There were, you know, auditions you go to that weren't really auditions. There were, you know, there were a lot of that kind of stuff at the beginning. As I went on, and particularly after I started playing Abby, I think that anybody would have been afraid.
Oh, well, yeah, that character.
Any moves on her, because she was so strong and so, she was not going to let anybody mess with her. So, and I think people thought that was me, too. And I took a lot of that from her, so I thank her for that.
But in times before then, when you were in situations where you were uncomfortable, did you tell girlfriends? Did you feel comfortable telling anybody? Or you just sort of brushed it off and said, well, I'm just never going, doing anything with that producer or that director again?
Pretty much that. Pretty much. I never really said anything. People didn't then.
Right.
You
know? Yeah, I know.
I mean, I'm thrilled to see that girls are, you know, opening up now and saying, yeah, this happened and that happened and it shouldn't happen. It's wrong. Because it is. And it shouldn't, you know, they shouldn't have to put up with that stuff. So I'm really happy to see this whole turn taking place now. And, you know, thank you, Harvey Weinstein.
And, well, in a manner of speaking, and James Toback and Bill Cosby and .. I mean, we haven't heard. It's the tip of the iceberg at this point. I mean, it's going to be. But
yeah, it's true.
But is there anybody that you, you know, statute of limitations be damned, that you would want to call out and say, hey, that son of a bitch, .. Even if it wasn't, God forbid, cause for a little rape, but is there anybody that you could say, you know, he's pretty famous now, but back in the day, what a creep, what a bastard?
No. No, not really. You know, the things that happened when I was very young in the business, I don't even remember their names. You know, I don't remember who they were. The only one, and this was a famous one, Al Capp. Do you remember him?
The cartoonist?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, that was out in the public for a long time, that he was a terrible predator. He would have guys going out in the street trying to find girls to, you know, bring up to him, saying that, you know, he was casting Little Abner on Broadway.
Oh, right, right, right.
Yeah.
Oh, they were looking for a Daisy, and a different kind of Daisy. Right.
Right. Yeah. But, so, you know, I got hooked into that at one point and was, like, devastated, you know, and left there screaming and crying. But, you know, that's a famous one. It's not like I'm outing him. He died a long time ago, actually.
Actually, it's not so famous. I heard of him as cartoonisting for Little Abner, but had not heard those stories. So don't always assume these things are out there and famous. Maybe they're just famous in a very small community, you know?
I guess so.
The Bill Cosby thing was famous, but it took that black comedian saying it for it to really be famous. Everybody knew, but nobody knew. Until that moment when then everybody couldn't deny and everybody really did know. Do you know what I'm even saying?
Yes.
Okay. Let's move on to happier things. You were talking about Little Abner on Broadway. You did some Broadway back in the day. You worked with someone else who, again, there's some controversy about this man, Woody Allen. You were in the original Don't Drink the Water.
I was. Yes, I understudied the ingenue, Anita Gillette. But I played the Sultan's wife, but I was like all covered and with a, you know, scarf over my face and everything like that. So you never saw me.
Oh, well, what was it like? What was Woody like back then in the beginnings of his genius?
Well, you know, he was odd.
Okay.
So he was, but I never got to know him very well because I wasn't, you know, one of the major players. I wasn't one of the major characters, so, you know, I just saw him in rehearsals and out of town, and, you know, we played it in Boston before we brought it into New York. So I don't really have much to say about him because I never really got to know him very well.
Okay, that's right. Well, let's talk about another director, because you were in an early and good movie by Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
Was it his first directing assignment, Play Misty for Me? I think that was...
It was. It was the first his first movie that he directed, and he was wonderful. I mean, he brought that movie in under budget and under time. For a first-time director, that's, like, amazing. But he knew exactly what he wanted. He knew exactly how he wanted to do it. He had incredible taste in what he did, and he was just a joy to work with.
Oh, that's wonderful. See, I'm not just looking for bad, weird, creepy stories. I'm looking for great stories about it, because you've been in Hollywood and in California and doing theater for all these years. You have probably amazing anecdotes about famous people with whom you have worked. Hint, like who?
I'd have to think about them, though.
Well, who are some of your favorite people that you've ever worked with?
Oh, good grief. You know, Clint is certainly one of my favorites.
Okay.
The people that I did Knots with, who I'm still very close to, Michelle and Joan and Ted and Kevin, Bill, you know, they're all really like family to me still.
Oh, good.
And even after all these years, isn't that amazing?
And were you friends with Larry Hagman? Was that a good, happy... Because you were in a comedy together before he started showing up from Dallas, going to Knott's Landing and blah, blah, blah.
That's right. Yeah, we did The Good Life together, where we played husband and wife. And I love him. I loved him from the very beginning. He took me under his wing, too, because I was brand new. I'd just come out here. I did Play Misty for Me, and then I came down to L.A., and I auditioned for the Good Life, and I got it. And it went on the air. Everybody said the first pilot you did went on the air. Oh, God. So I was very, very lucky, but I was very green and very, didn't know what was what. And he took me under his wing, and he was wonderful. He and his wife, Mai, were just wonderful, wonderful people. And, you know, that relationship went on all the way through Knots. You know, we shot in the same lot, so we saw each other a lot, you know.
And do you have any funny amusing anecdotes of stuff that happened behind the scenes, bloopers on the camera, when doing Knots Landing.
Oh, doing Knots Landing? Oh, my gosh.
All right. Or live soap operas. Oh, actually, we'll get to those, too. But let's get to the taped, the evening soap operas, like Knots Landing. Any funny memories?
Yeah, well, there's like the stuff that Ted used to do. I mean, we'd be doing a shower scene or something, but, we'd have on towels and, stuff like that. And then they'd go to shoot my shot, and I'd turn around and look at him, and he'd dropped his towel.
But that's harassment now. Nobody will do that anymore,
Right. Yeah, I know, but it was very funny. I mean, he's a very funny guy. And, he used to do things like that to me all the time. Just being really, fun and racy and funny.
Were you on any soap operas in the daytime that were live?
The first one that I did, I think it was, I can't even remember, it was called The Secret Storm, and I played a character by the name of Rocket. Hello.
All right.
That was the only name. She was a nightclub singer. I have no idea why in heaven's name they cast me, but they did, and I actually had to sing.
Oh, okay.
Nobody's been able to find that footage, and I'm really glad.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I did the one that I put on the air, which was Love Is Many Splendor Thing.
Right.
And then, so that was a big deal to put a soap on the air like that. That was great, actually.
Well, people invariably, they separate the daytime Emmys, which you have won one, from the regular Emmys. I mean, people kind of look down on soap operas. You defend them to us, please.
Well, yeah, but the thing that I don't like is that they call Knots Landing a soap opera. It was not a soap opera. It was a nighttime drama. The nighttime shows were basically not soap operas. Soap operas are different than the ones in the daytime, and I have great respect for them because they are not easy, and I have respect for the actors because they do a tremendous amount of work in a very short time, and it's really tough. So, I have respect for all forms of acting,
And is that why you're still doing theater? Because there's that sort of, you're on the go, you've got to, it's not sitting there waiting 45 minutes in a trailer for the camera to come and do a line. It's like, be ready, be fresh, boom, go,
Yeah, it's a very, it's as an actor, it's really nice because you get to rehearse, you get to hone your character, you get to try things and, see what works and what doesn't. That's a process that all actors love. So in theater, you get to do it the most.
Now, can I ask, speaking of theater, Wikipedia lists that you did a tour years ago of My Fair Lady. Were you Eliza back then?
No, I was a dancer in the chorus.
Oh, okay. So who was Higgins at that point? Was it Rex or what?
No. Boy, I have to go back and look at that program. I don't remember who it was.
Oh, okay. Come to think of it, who was Eliza if you weren't? So.
Yeah. it was a national company. Yeah, but I was a dancer.
Oh, so when was the last time you danced?
Well, a long time ago. I mean, I have a workout room in my house, and in that workout room I have a ballet bar.
Ooh.
And I use it for stretching and all that kind of stuff. So, but the last time I danced, oh my goodness, professionally was really a long time ago.
Okay.
Back in Chicago, I think.
Oh, that's where I left my self-esteem. I mentioned that before. It's in that closet there with your dance shoes.
Right.
We're talking, by the way, with the delightful Donna Mills. You're going to go see her, by the way. Even if you don't live in California, you're going to drive out to California to the Colony Theater in Burbank for Driving Miss Daisy, which is running through from this weekend already through December 10th. And I asked before about Jewishness and your boyfriend and all of this, but how are you raised religiously wise?
I was raised in a Catholic home.
Okay, and
but
did it
somehow
take...
it didn't take on me.
Why not?
I don't know exactly, but it didn't. I'm very not religious, but I was raised in a Catholic home, and my brother, who lives in Colorado, where you are, is still very religious, and his whole family is.
So do you have a belief system of any kind in God, in Xenu, or anything like that?
Just a morality, I think, more than a belief system in God. It's a morality about how I should be and the kind of person I should be, and that I want to be a good person, you know, good to other people, make some difference in the world, you know, all that kind of thing. But it doesn't stem from religion, it just stems from a morality.
Now, speaking of making a difference in the world, are you at all overtly political, or do you keep that to yourselves? Because lots of actors, especially these days, they're weighing in one way or the other.
Yeah, no, I'm very vocal. I always have been.
Okay, so...
politically, yeah.
Are you waving a Confederate flag, or are you saying, dump Trump?
No, dump Trump. You know, I just signed a petition to have him impeached.
Oh, my goodness. On the specific grounds of which wrong thing did he do? Which one?
Which one? All of them.
You need an impeachable offense. It isn't just that you don't like him. You need something to say, hey, what he did was dot, dot, dot. So what was that petition about?
Well, I think calling other national leaders names and when they have nuclear weapons aimed at our country is probably an impeachable offense.
Well, wait, I know why you're angry at him, because he called the Korean guy Rocket Man, and you resented being called Rocket all those years ago.
Right, yes, right.
It's deeply, that's why. Oh, my God.
No, he's just, you know, he's done so many things that anybody else would have been, you know, thrown out for, that it boggles the mind.
Have you taught acting? I know that's sort of I veered away from that really quick, but have you done any instruction stuff, or do you coach young people who want to get into the business?
No, I've never taught acting, no. The only kind of tutorial kind of stuff that I did is that I had a makeup video, two actually, a makeup video and then a makeup video.
What was it called, the Eyes Habit?
And eye makeup kit that I sold. So,
oh yeah,
those are the only tutorial kind of things I've done.
Well, what is a tip that you would give, either makeup wise or otherwise, to someone, you know, a young girl, 16 years old, says, "Oh, I want to get in the business."
Oh, they want to get in the business?
Yeah.
Study acting. If you want to be an actor, study acting, and don't get in the business because you want to be a star. Get in the business because you want to act.
But you were lucky. You're the one out of 1,000 who not only got to act a bit, but got to make a real great living doing it. So,
well, yeah. I mean, and that can happen. But if that's your goal, you're going to be disappointed. If your goal is because you love the work, you love to act, then you're going to be a much happier person.
So let me ask, what are some roles, even if they're one-offs in sitcoms and dramas on TV and stuff, what are roles that you're most proud of or you think people should find on Netflix and give a look to?
Well, of course, Abby. Abby is like my favorite character that I've ever done.
Oh, okay.
I got to form her over years, and that was a real privilege. Not many actors get to do that. But then I did... when I left Knott's, I produced 6 movies for television, and most of those movies were done on real stories, and I liked them because I thought that they would be helpful. I did one about a woman who was an alcoholic. We got a lot of inquiries about AA and stuff like that afterwards, which was wonderful. I did another one about deadbeat dads. It was called Runaway Father. That was a true story of a woman who, you know, found the guy who left her with two kids and made him pay 17 years later, which was really interesting. Roles like that, I think I really did well with, and I'm proud of the fact that I got those movies made.
And what about theater? Because we do love theater here. Are there roles that you hope to tackle in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, somebody mentioned to me the other day, as long as you're doing old ladies, why don't you do On Golden Pond?
Well, that is another one up there. You're thinking about it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm wondering, what's your favorite theater role that you have played over the years? Not counting Daisy, which you're playing right now in California, but besides that, on stage, what was your favorite theater experience?
Well, I did Les Liaisons Dangereuses a couple of years ago here at the La Mirada Theater, and I love that play. It's my favorite play. It's tough, though. It's a 3-hour play. But it was wonderful. I would do that again if I could.
Well, we have been talking with the charming, delightful, and funny, and wonderful Donna Mills, who is playing the titular, and you forgive me for saying that word, but the titular Miss Daisy and driving Miss Daisy at the Colony Theater in Burbank, California. It's happening this weekend all the way through mid-December. So let me ask for a final question here. What do you hope for in the next 10, 15 years regarding your life and career?
I would like to, at this point in my life, because I think I'm vital still, I would like to be an inspiration that women don't have to, not that they don't have to age, everyone does, but that...
I certainly do. You should see my prostate, but yeah.
But that they can age in a way that is still healthy and active and vital.
I like that. I do like that. And I like you, Donna Mills. It is lovely to talk to you. I wish you great success, of course, with the Driving Miss Daisy. Are you working, by the way, on any other project that people will see you in soon?
I have a little movie that'll come out. I don't know when it'll come out. It's called Best Mom. I think they're going to take it around to film festivals. I'm not sure exactly where it's going to end up, but it was a cute little movie that I did, and I hope it does well.
We hope it does well, too, and hope that you do well for many, many years to come. Donna Mills, thank you for visiting with us in the Kosher neighborhood, and shalom to you.
Shalom, Rabbi. Thank you so much.